The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network and ChicagoBears.com. Download the Chicago Bears official mobile app for up-to-the-minute Bears content every day. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by Uber and sponsored by CDW, Miller Lite, and PNC.
Hi, everyone. Welcome inside the PNC studio at Hallis Hall for this edition of Goodbye Uber. Proud to be in front of a couple dozen season ticket holders joining the audience. Hear from all of you, not just waves. This is radio. We need to hear from you guys. It's Wednesday night here at Hallis Hall. I'm Chris Bowden filling in for coming up after 7 o'clock tonight as DePaul takes on Drake. Alongside there, we are pleased to be joined by fellow guard folks. We have 60 minutes of hand placement. Eric Kush, would you please welcome Eric Kush to the show here tonight?
How you guys doing?
Time with us here. So we'll get into the whole Hard Knocks, the tank have been known for, but you're getting known for stepping in and doing a pretty good job with all the injuries at guard. And let's dive into your backstory a little bit. You grew up collar, all right, outside Pittsburgh in that hotbed of football.
Yeah, I grew up in blue collar parents, blue collar city, every day.
And you went to the University of California. Not that university.
No, University of Pennsylvania.
Of Pennsylvania.
When I, first started coming up for the league, whether it's visits or this or that, the other, I had to explain that to
You're
a
not
lot.
A golden bear?
To a lot. California Vulcans, actually.
Oh, and is a Vulcan, is that like a, is that a vulture combination combo platter?
It's a Roman god of fire and
blood.
Yeah, it's
tonight,
a pretty cool
folks.
Logo.
Were you a Steelers guy or a Philadelphia Eagles guy?
No, you can't grow up in Pittsburgh and not be a Steelers fan. You get shunned.
Well, I mean, that's a lot of Aliquippa, Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. and, a lot of Jimbo Cover and all these guys are, but, it's kind of a question you have to ask because, the Steelers are great. But the Eagles have a big following that in that area, too.
Oh, absolutely. And, on the other side of the state and everything, and you jag them and you tease them. And, it's a pretty good rival.
Growing up, going to high school, was football always the main love for you? Did you play some other?
One of the first sports I fell in love with was actually wrestling back in second grade. I first came in and was like, hey, you want to try wrestling? And I was like, heck yeah, I want to try wrestling. Stairs and around the living room. I'm like, is this going to help me? Is this going to help me for wrestling?
But it, how football players that I ever played with, they were great wrestlers in their background. And when you look, it was our fullback to Jay Hilgenberg, to John Wojciechowski, to Jimbo Covert, all these having great NFL careers. It's a lot of it is the fundamentals that you learn from wrestling.
Body position and understanding that and training that through years of wrestling, definitely. But football career, and I tell kids that all the time, whether it's young high school kids looking to improve, I say, hey, go get in that mat room, go talk to your wrestling coach and start
wrestling through high school along with the football.
Yeah, well, I did. I started in second grade, wrestled, and one of my high school football coaches was like, I was always a bean. In high school, I was probably about 6'2" and a half, 6'3", but 150 pound string bean. And, one of my high school coaches kind of got in my ear a little bit and said, lift all winter. You might be able to get a football scholarship, big athletic guy. So I wrestled my freshman year at 152 pounds was the weight class. Sophomore year, just got a, late growth spurt. I was just a late bloomer and put on, just growing, late blooming and came back my sophomore year, 215 or heavyweight. I was probably about 206, 210 pounds. And then I was like, I'm gonna lift this winter instead of playing football. I mean, father didn't talk to me all winter.
Right.
I'd be like, hey, Dad, let's go. Let's go hunt. Nothing. No. So that kind of that hurt. But sold my junior and senior year and placed at states at heavyweight twice in Pennsylvania.
How was your? That's leading me to the question: why you ended up at Cal, Pennsylvania, instead out there when you consider them? And did you have a top-notch high school program?
My senior year, we made it to the playoffs for the first time, I think, or had the first time in a long time, I believe. And I was playing left tackle at times during the football season, so I was always a little undersized to play lineman. My freshman year of high school, I was 150 pounds trying to play O-line. So all the other kids would tease me, like, oh, you're too skinny, you're too small, get out of here, stuff like that.
Well, it's fascinating because you go to the University of Pennsylvania and it says a lot about the process of going to a school like they've ever heard of prior to coming in here tonight, but actually making your way up the NFL. What was that, attention-grabbing process? I heard all the stories about it. If you're a good enough football player, scouts are going to. What was that journey like when, everyone seems to focus on all the power conferences?
It was a pretty cool experience. So let's start my freshman year going into Cal PA. I was originally recruited to play defensive end there. I was like, all right, I'm going to go play D-end. Proven day training camp, and head coach John Lockhart at the time comes over and he says, you know, hey, Aaron, quote-unquote injuries at O-line over the summer. We're going to need you to play O-line, you know.
Right.
You know, end up being, you know, good O-lineman, D-lineman, it got, you know, changed in college. So then my O-line coach was, you know, I'd go in, work hard, you know, bust my butt. I need you 10 pounds heavier. You know, I was 230 pounds. She's like, all right, I need you 10 pounds heavier. Work and train and eat and train and eat. You know, with Bobby Sapizzi was a, our way, he still is. So I'd, you know, I'd bust my butt in that weight room with him. 50 the next, you know, the next training camp comes around. Of course, you're doing great, whatever. But I'd be like, son of a gun.
Well, so I wish that was a problem I could have. Just keep putting on weight.
So yeah. working, and then I got my first opportunity to start there at left tackle. Working, and eventually the Nick Piccirillo, who was our star, he was graduating, so there was a chance to move inside, and at the next level was going to be my best opportunity. I wasn't going to be a 6'4", you know. So kept putting more weight on, you know, 5 pounds, 10 pounds side to play next to a guy named Rashad Johnson, who transferred from Old Looks and everything. So I was like, I'm going to go play next to this guy. You know, so scouts are checking him out. And it worked out. You know, yeah. It worked out. I was able to get a redshirt year, my redshirt year back in my freshman year, and just kept grinding. And then going into my senior year, I'm getting like phone calls and, you know, my name's so-and-so. And I'm like, what are these guys? And then finally, someone told me about a stuff like that and lists and whatnot that I was on. And I was like, you know, this is incredible. I just, you know, it wasn't my plan, you know. I just kept working. And this came around, and I was like, you know, holy crap.
But looking back on all that you had, it's had to help you to where you are now.
Mm-hmm.
Because in your professional life, but what you learned as a young college kid, if I put in the effort, I'm good enough to accomplish my goal, and look where you are now.
Hard work and keep going and you know, knowing what your next step is and what and that's how my, you know, everything's been so far for me in the league. I persevere and push through some stuff, you know, go here, go there. But that's making it happen.
That's a conversation we need to have longer because I think it's to hear your story because I think of anybody that's come through their accomplishments of I Am Anybody.
Six teams.
I appreciate that.
Six teams in two. Go through some of that journey as we burn our first time out here on Bears All Access. Brought to you by Uber, front of our season ticket holders. Joining us here for tonight's program with Tom Thayer and our special. Need a ride to or from Bears home games? Download the Uber app and get a safe, reliable ride within minutes. Head to uber.com/app and to get $15 off your first Uber ride. Back inside the PNC studio at Halas Hall, Bears All Access brought to you by Uber. We're here with a couple dozen season ticket holders. Rick Kush joins Tom Thayer and myself until 7 o'clock. So let's talk a little bit about this journey. Sixth round draft pick of the Kansas City Chiefs back in 13. Before getting cut, I guess, on one of the final cutdowns with the Chiefs a couple of years ago. So then a week in Tampa, what amounts to 2015, folks, a week in Tampa, about 5 weeks in Carolina or so, something
or so,
like that.
Maybe a little more.
10 days in Houston, and then in November you sign on with the Rams and are with them all the way up until the final cuts this past summer. You have a saint as a wife, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
Right, Stephanie?
Takes care of a lot at home.
But, yeah, especially on this the last time when we got to see you go into the room with Jeff Fisher and get that news, and I guess it was between you and another guy that they had to choose from, as is usually the case. But I don't know if it was like this, and it seemed to you had to do all you could to kind of keep your emotions in check, didn't you?
Absolutely. I mean, it's an emotional time. You know, you put in all this effort. And you want to stick around, you know. If you like where you are, you want to stick around and stuff. And not only do you not want to stick around, you don't want to be the guy who didn't make it, or, you know, I didn't make this something, you know. So it's emotional when that day comes and they're like, yeah, you know, we don't want you, or, you know, we made a different decision. And that's and I love Jeff Fisher a lot. It was a lot of fun, a lot of fun in that organization and everything. Had a fun time, you know, through training camp. So it was a tough day.
You know, back in my time with the Bears, we had Tom Waddle, who tried out with us, and he got cut three times by the same team. And I always said, what makes this guy, and had a really nice career with the Bears and has been able to have a nice career after it because of it. Did you ever think about not playing football, or were you always so committed that you knew eventually your opportunity would present itself?
Well, you just keep going.
Yeah.
You know, stretch your career as long as you can. So I just kept grinding and grinding and grinding, and that's what I'm doing here. I'm just keep grinding and everything and take advantage of the opportunity.
I remember watching the first episode of Hard Knocks when you got introduced, and I saw you unpacking all your tank tops, and I was thinking, wow, this guy must have been around the NFL. And then you kind of become aware of your story. And so you kind of, you know, you're kind of like a cult following for anybody who's gone professional life and something that's difficult, because now you kind of get more attached to your story. And I think that was the neat thing about it. Was it difficult for you in seriousness of training camp, the competitiveness of everyday practice, and then you're, you know, you have that story that's following you around?
Well, you know, you know, but you want to have fun. You know, you're competing out there, you know, for obviously for a job, for a roster spot and everything, but it'll eat you alive if you don't, you know, each day, you know, as it comes. So you just enjoy the friendships that you make along the way. You know, even whether you're competing with a friend for, just enjoy the process, enjoy the experience.
How distracting was it, though? I mean, were you able to pretty much put it aside unless they're right there, cameras following you all around? Because it takes a big decision by an organization, you know, especially when they go behind the scenes to accept that. How much of a distraction was it for you guys?
I'm sure for some guys a lot. For me, I was just being myself. You know, I had a lot of friends who watched it, a lot of people I grew up with. Cush, man, I'm glad you never changed. I'm glad, you know, that nothing's different. You're the same person, you know, throughout, you know, my whole football career. So I was just being myself, got some of it on camera.
What about the blue language? Does anybody ever say anything about it? Because, I mean, it's part of practice.
It's cable.
It's part of competition. I know, but Hard Knocks during the era of going through training camp and every time.
Can you imagine the 85 Bears?
It would have been a great Hard Knock. So, you know, my mom never found out I owned a motorcycle until they showed it on the front page of the newspaper on the way to training camp. She called me up crying. And so I only imagine you have some language situations that present themselves in the competitiveness than anybody ever say, hey, Eric, come on, you know.
Yeah, clean up the language. Right. It's football, you know, it's tough. It gets gritty out there. So you try to watch what you're going to say, you know, but that's why I was on HBO and not Sunday. So a little bit, but you just try to be yourself, you know, what happens, happens.
How did they find you and your story?
Move in to training camp, you know, with my bags and stuff. And they said, hey, want to film you, you know, walking into the room. So I carried my bags, and they said, you know, they stuck the camera, you know, I'm here. So then I just started, they stood there and watched me in my little dorm room unpacking my bag. So I'm like, all right, if you're going to sit here and film me, this is my tank.
So they
this
weren't even aware
tank.
Of your tank collection.
No, they had no idea. I just happened to bring
it. Became a continuing story.
Yeah, and then they're like, hey, you know, let's have fun with this. And I love my tank tops and everything. And sunny Southern California was a good time to have tank tops.
Have you introduced them to the Bears yet? The tank top, you know, you have the spaghetti straps for tank tops for going out to dinner at a nice restaurant.
Yeah, no, casual. You know.
Ladies, are we disappointed we're not in the tank top tonight here? Or no? Yeah. Audience there. But fat arm every day.
Fat arm every day, right? I'm only allowed to wear tank tops on Fridays in the weight room. Fat arm for the day. It's just a sleeveless Bears workout shirt.
But you want to make this into a business. And do you have a couple that are your faves? Flag one and on Hard Knocks. Do you have a couple that have a special place in your heart?
Well, the American flag tank top was just one that I bought. You know, American Fat on Friday. Why not do that every 4th of July or something? You know. But the ones we made on the TV show, those were pretty fun to make and everything like that. We're working on a website. You know, I have the name kushtanks.com, and we're working on getting it running, how I'm going to utilize it and how I'm going to do this thing. You know, whether it's something current events, you know, like maybe a Hillary Clinton or a Donald Trump, you know, tank top doing something funny or something, you know, frog memes or something, you know, stuff like that.
But when that comes to fruition, you'll probably tweet out the website something like that. You're Eric Kush 64.
We're on Twitter and Instagram, and I'm sure when I get it all figured out, I'll stick it out on there and retweet it a bunch of times.
I think it's hard, difficult it is to understand the terminology of a new offense. Mm-hmm. You were around a bunch of them last year, and then all of a sudden you get released by the Rams, and boom, you're with her. Mm-hmm. How long does it take you to feel comfortable in the system? Because now you've been able to start games, you understand the terminology in some of the most hostile environment. Mm-hmm. How long does it take you to feel comfortable in a system in the terminology?
Well, it all started in Kansas City. I had a fantastic Heck, and
who played here?
Yeah, the way he taught me to look at defenses and to understand the concept of the play, not just the concept of the play. And he really drove that home. So whenever I went to another team, I'd say, okay, what is the concept they're trying to run? And we'll figure out the concept. You can just, once you translate, all it is just translating the name. So if a team's going to run a zone play, what are the concept of this type of zone? What are the names? And that's, that's pretty much it. It seems simple, but it's not easy.
Right. I know it's
yeah.
It's not.
So once I went to another team, I'd be like, okay, this is what they call this play. And you go, you move on from there. So when I came here, it was, after doing this several times now, I was like, okay, this is what we call it. Let's roll. I'm ready.
Mission here to the Bears and becoming a contributor when Bears All Access brought to you by Uber continues. We're here with a couple of dozen season ticket holders joining us here at the PNC studio. It has offensive lineman Eric Kush back after this. Sunday's game is brought to you by Beggar's Pizza. The first 30,000 fans to enter Soldier Field will receive a Bears tailgate apron courtesy of Beggar's Pizza. We lay it on thick. Welcome back inside the PNC studio at Hallis Hall for Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. A bunch of season ticket holders joining us here. Alongside Tom Thayer, I'm Chris Bowden with Bears guard Eric Kush. We talked last segment a little bit about the disappointment that you got in that meeting with Jeff Fisher on your weekend or whatever it was. But the Bears called you pretty quickly, and that had to be a huge boost in your spirits. About how soon after you walked, did your agent hear from Ryan Pace?
Well, you got to wait. Their cut day was a little bit earlier than the standard day. And right after that, you waiver wire, so all the teams get access to look at this thing. So I had to wait a couple of days before it was officially, out. Mm-hmm. I was thrilled to see where I was going to go next. And, here in Chicago, having a great time.
What are you getting here with the Bears in time that perhaps you haven't gotten in any other four or five stops? What's unique about this opportunity here?
Well, I've got an opportunity to play. I'm on the field. It's been really good for me, putting some good film out there. And I'm working at guard. I was typically a center. My first 2 years, I was just a pure center. Around a lot last year, teams are like, hey, you're going to have to learn how to play guard, So I have some more multi-position, thing going for me. So it was my first time where I just played guard. Like, I didn't do any – I was on the P squad in Charlotte. And I didn't – I barely played any center there at all. So it was, learn how to play good playing guard. And then when the Rams picked me up, that's where I played guard too. So now I'm actually getting that opportunity to do it on Sundays and show what I can do and show that I can.
We're inactive. I watch you on the field go through a routine with Kevin Mawai, one mm-hmm. of the offensive line coaches that came in at the beginning of this year. And it was like you're almost doing a full pre-game routine, mm-hmm. but it's like just repetitiously being done that you do as an offensive lineman. How helpful was that for you? Really active, even though you weren't on the active roster for mm-hmm. a couple games.
Well, that's the thing. You don't know when someone's going to get hurt, what's right. going to happen. So you got to prepare, and use the knowledge that you gain from weeks one to whenever you have to play to use it when you're playing. So you go through the routine like you're going to be the starter on Sunday, and it'll help you when your time comes. And my routine on Sunday was to get some extra work in. When I'm in more, offensive line, they say, are creatures of habits, Right. So you are what you consistently do. So you do the same step, keep reinforcing that and everything, and that helps when it's your time to play.
I'm sure in some of your other stops, you played with some pretty decent guards. I don't know, patient that are here with Sitton and Long, how much are you able to pick up from them? Even though you're new here, and Josh also came in on that same weekend, too.
Mm-hmm. Josh, at the hotel, they have new people stay in, right down the road from
the New People Hotel.
Yeah.
And, right off the tri-state.
Yeah. And I'm like, hey. And he's like, hey, you're that tank top guy, aren't you? So we had a giggle about it, and I'm like, sure am. Let's go work hard and everything. And Josh are great guys, work hard in there and everything. And, Josh has got some cool stories along the way from 9 years. This is his ninth year, right? Years, along the journey. So it's pretty cool to hear from them.
Well, let's not leave Ted Larson out of the mix because, we are introduced to Ted Larson in training camp. And here's a guy, stocky guy, mm-hmm. thick, fighting every day. I mean, does he give you that same look in the huddle when, there's very little comment, when you guys break the huddle and you guys are going to be the two starting offensive guards down the road, is Ted give the same reflection in the huddle given the fans out of training camp practices?
Oh, absolutely. So Ted and I, when I first got here, we were the guards, for the show team to give the defense a look to prepare. So we'd go through the plays that the defense was going to see. So Ted and I had a lot of fun just getting after it together, you know, with each other hard, and then hitting the weight room hard and everything. And that's what you still see out of Ted, you know, Ted the old fire hydrant.
Right. You know, now that you've been playing Gum a World Away, or is it just a matter of saying, hey, Eric, we need you to move over to center, take your glove off, boom, start snapping?
Well, I still do a couple reps for this sometimes, just to keep that, you know, keep that skill, because it's different. You know, when you got a guard, you got a guy who's, you know, 2 feet to 4 feet away. When you're at center, you got to get used to quicker, tighter feet, tighter hands, you know, quicker reaction, getting your hands on a guy faster. So the process is at center and guard.
It should be noted, though, in the two starts from the start of a game that Eric and Ted Larson have had, this might be very well aware of it, they were the game against the Minnesota Vikings, a really good defense, and they kept Jay Cutler clean in that game, had a great running game against Tennessee, which also has a real, real strong defense. We saw what Jordan Howard can do, and they kept Matt Barkley clean, too. So prop in when such high-caliber guards like Sitton and Long are in, and there doesn't seem to be any drop-off. I know you're proud of that. I know you got to check it and probably with. But, I mean, how much of a great feeling is it to be able to slide in for those two prominent guards and play the way you have?
Absolutely thrilled, you know, having fun out there playing the Vikings and everything, and we made it a point to just go work hard, bust our butts, and have not go out there stressed or go out there worried about anything. Just go have fun, go play hard, and execute, you know, do our job. And that was a lot of fun to do it last week. You know, we came up a little short, but we still had a lot of fun and took a lot of pride in, you know, no sacks allowed and everything like that.
A little bit more here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. More on some of his new teammates and being able to be effective in that running game as well as pass protection. Tennessee as well. We're here with season ticket holders, Bears season ticket holders on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber from the PNC studio at Halas Hall.
It's the official pregame show of your Chicago Bears, Bears Game Day Live, brought to you by Advocate Healthcare. Every Sunday, Mox 32 Chicago. Our audience of Bears season ticket holders joining us here at the PNC studio at Halas Hall. Tom, Eric, getting from the crowd here on hand as we continue on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. Chris Bowden filling in for Zach Zaidman tonight. Looking at some of your new teammates right now, the second round draft pick, Cody Whitehair, how impressed are you as a guy who played that position to have see that kid just kind of jump in, especially the season and the way he's performed this year?
It's pretty cool, you know, having a kid, having a guy come in and, you know, and understand everything and be able to make all the, you know, correct calls and everything with that. And it, you know, goes to show his preparation throughout the week, you know, looking at the defenses, understanding what we're trying to do, and how much in throughout the week.
Give our audience a little sense. Now you've gone through three different starting quarterbacks so far this season, and how much does how much it affects an offensive lineman in terms of the way they bark out calls or whether how plays are called in the huddle. There has a little bit of an adjustment period. You try and iron that out during the course of a practice week, I'm sure, but it's a little different in an emergency game situation too.
Yeah, you just the biggest how fast they, you know, go through, you know, Y20, you know. So getting used to when you can actually go and when the quarterback or when the center's going to snap. But for the most part, it's the same plays. You know, the quarterback's going to just tell us the play. And we're going to go up to the line of scrimmage and run that play, you know. So I want to make this adjustment on a pass protection. Maybe that another quarterback would rather throw a hot or something, you know. But it's all just listening to, you know, whoever's there and whoever's making the calls.
Well, because your first start with the Chicago Bears is in Lambeau Field, one of the most difficult environments to play in, especially for an offensive lineman, because once you leave the huddle, you're never going to hear anything. What size crowds did you play in college? And then you talk about because you never had the experience of knowledge. And then here you are with your first start with the Bears is you're not going to hear the quarterback. Yeah. So what size crowds did you play in college?
Well, Cal PA, I think we won a game.
Yeah, really
you
talking.
Know, maybe. And then my freshman, sophomore year there, we went pretty far in the playoffs. They have a playoff system. Great, you know, walking around there.
Tom, you had more than that at Joliet Catholic,
right?
In home days.
Well, we had a big stadium in high school. But wasn't an experience when you go to Lambeau, because you know you drive up to Green Bay, Wisconsin. I don't know if it was your first time there or not, but you drive into Green Bay and it sits
skyscraper.
It's farm, house, gigantic stadium in the middle. No, you're like, where's the you know? There's no like major city around or something. It's just, you know, farm, stadium.
Supported by every one of those people that live in that
incredible community, yeah. So it's a really cool experience. You know, it's like, man, this is, you know, this is a cool field. And you go through the process. You know, when you're playing away games and stuff, you'll have speakers on the field and you'll blast noise. So you actually get practice away from you and everything like that. So, and when you're, you know, when you're in the zone, you're out there on the field and everything, you know, you can't hear the crowd. You're just, you know, you're locked in. It's just your guy climbing across from you and the defense and what's on the field. You know, you kind of just lock in and kind of zone that.
Did you have music noise on the field with the Rams?
You know, music or static noise. Yeah. You know,
isn't that the worst?
It's the worst. Right? It's not just like, okay, it's loud. It's deafening. Like, we wear earplugs right now. You know?
It'd be like telling all you people to go home, turn on a static TV channel, turn it up as loud as you can, and just sit there for 2.5 hours. And you're starting to prepare for playing an opponent at their stadium.
Yeah.
Sound effects courtesy of Eric Kush. Thank you very much. Hey, it was an exciting yet frustrating finish on Sunday, and it was a tough day, as everyone knows, for the wideouts. What was it like? You know, and the guys are probably beating themselves up as you come back to the huddle. I don't know if apologies are in order at some point when you're standing there out on the field, but what was it, you know, as unfortunately it was one of those days at one particular position where it was particularly tough. How do you keep... Were the wideouts getting a little down on themselves? Can they afford to do that?
Well, we're a team, so we got to pick each other up. We can't let each other, go down that beat and everything. You got to keep going. You got to keep going. And we all take our turns. You know, if someone's had a bad play here, a bad play there, you know, so you got to let it go. And it's not just one. I mean, it could be one, you know, but there's, you know, different plays before that, you know, before that happens that, you know, could have affected the game as well. So, you can, this is the reason, you know, so you just pick each other up, keep going and keep going as a team, as a unit. You know, we've all taken turns, you know, message, keep going and pick each other up.
And I imagine it's kind of the theme of the whole season with all the, have you ever come close to anything to what this team has experienced, the injuries this team has had?
It's definitely incredible. I don't know what the actual number is on the injured reserve, but it's
15 right now.
Yeah, that's an incredible number. Yeah. But the show must go on. You know, you got to keep working. The next guy steps up and gets his opportunity. And it's up to him to take advantage of that and fill that role as best as for me. I'm maximizing my opportunity, mm-hmm. you know, getting playing time and everything like that and having a good time doing it.
I'm sure that's what all the guys have to do in this situation. And nobody, you know, as your head coach likes to say, there's no pity party and they're not stopping the season for you either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Like, another thing we have is, you know, no one's coming to just show up and save you. You got to keep putting the work in, keep doing it, and keep showing up on Sunday and keep grinding.
All right, time for another break here on Bears All Act. Glad to have an audience of Bears season ticket holders with us here at the PNC Studio at Hallis Hall. Chris Bowden, Tom Thayer, will be back with Eric Kush after another timeout. Cheer on your Chicago Bears at Soldier Field this season. Select single game tickets are available. Visit ChicagoBears.com today. San Francisco 49ers at noon on Sunday. Welcome back into Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber, joined by a number of season ticket holders here in our PNC studio at Hallis Hall. Glad to have them, Chris Bowden, Tom Thayer, and we got the right guard, Tom Thayer, the left guard, right. Eric Kush with us here. So, we mentioned your Twitter account. Was Thanksgiving night. I'm sitting there at home doing a little bit of homework after I stuffed my belly, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden I see one of your tweets pop up, and it's a shot of who apparently got into a jar of peanut butter. So I will put this. Your phones can go to Twitter. Go to @EricKush64. A lovely picture of yourself. How old is he? 5 years old.
That son is 2 years old. He just turned
an older one.
I have an older son who's five.
Okay. So describe what happened that particular night. No turkey, I guess. It was just
peanut butter for that kid. So my 5 year old likes to eat peanut butter with a spoon out of the jar. You know, like a lot of people do. Not
right.
Whatever. And he must have left it sitting on the couch there and stick his hands in it and lather it all over himself.
Up and down his legs. His legs were completely covered with peanut butter. All everybody.
They were like, we got to get a picture of this before we clean this up, you know.
And how was, do we have to call in hazmat or what? What was?
Well,
my
wife, you know, with the kids and everything and making sure that they're squared away. She snatches them up and throws them right in the tub and scrubs and scrubs and scrubs all this, you know, peanut butter off them and up the couch and everything. And we went on with our day. You know, it's just something else pops up with two kids. You know?
And not only that, but I'll put this on your phone here. And hey, this is great for radio, isn't it? But during the next break, I'll have this picture of it up for you for our studio audience here to check out because it is absolutely. They're like like a Sharpie marker.
Oh yeah, Sharpies or whatever. You know,
the couch.
We made sure we got moved here that was disposable. You know, we didn't have to worry too much about. So,
does he take after you? Is this the way a young Eric Kush was?
You know, I'm not going to get into it. I was a fantastic kid. I never did anything wrong. But we knew, kids are kids. So when we moved here and we moved furniture and we made it wasn't an expensive set or anything like that.
You ever get a peanut butter covered kid again, let me know and I'll get my dog Ernie on him. And he'll love them clean, I guarantee you.
Well, in a recent episode of Inside the Bears, you did the big guys and small cars deal with Splice Anthony Adams. But the most amazing part for me was when you guys, they showed the car that you hop into.
Yeah, my compact car.
Yeah. You got like a souped up Jeep. Well, what's going on over there?
So I got a four wheeling ever since I was a little kid, and finally got a Jeep my sophomore year of college. And I love to modify them, work on them, go four wheeling. When I got to the NFL, I kind of built my dream Jeep. I got 1-ton truck axles.
Do you need a ladder to get inside of that thing? Or
I'm still young enough up and do a pull up into the car.
A little extra workout.
Yeah, it's not too bad though. So I got a 6-liter Chevy V8 in it and everything, and Atlas transfer case. That's the and everything like that. And I got it stretched front and rear, so it's actually another 15-20 inches longer wheelbase than a stock 19.
Illegal on the road, but, though, right?
That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
Yeah,
okay. Yes.
The people driving behind you got to hate you, especially if you're coming out of mud. Because your tires stick out like.
No, they stay right under the fender.
Somebody's waiting outside 1920.
I'd be chasing you down.
When it rains, the tires, they flick water everywhere. I'm sure it looks like a monsoon behind me. And I can't even tell how hard it's raining because the front tires kick up water on my windshield. So I got to.
Greg Miller is probably. Are these all good with our sponsors? Our auto sponsor? No, maybe one of them. Okay. Hey, one of the things I apologize for some media locker room protocol here, but I just wanted to bring this up because earlier in the year, I thought one of the coolest moments outside of the footroom this year, and this is just something I and a couple other reporters happened to hear. You and one of your locker mates, who was also a new teammate, comfortable doing it. But you guys would come out and you'd sit in your locker stalls and you'd be talking about some pretty serious stuff, issues of the day, things like that, some of the bigger issues that we need to have conversations about, whether it's, police actions or anything like that. And something that needs to be done for us to kind of gain a greater understanding of each other, whether we hold certain views strong and like the other person. I just thought that was a real cool moment. How often does that happen, or was it this particular teammate that may have prompted some kind of deep stuff?
Well, I'm sure you could agree. Being with guys in the NFL, you've played with people from all over the place, all kinds of different upbringings, all kinds of different areas of the world, and it's really cool to hear different opinions from another upbringing or another part of the country or something like that. So it's cool to expand your personal beliefs and everything like that, and have a conversation like that with teammates, where you can trust that no one's going to get mad about your opinion or anything, your teammates, but it's cool to
agree 100%. I think that you can have really serious conversations about so many topics across the world, and it's not offensive. Mm-mm. It's thought-provoking. So many different guys that come from different areas of the United States, different educational backgrounds, all this type of stuff, and so I think that's when you develop. Mm-hmm. And the reason that you guys are able to perform till the end of the game like last year, it's because of the friendships and the trust and the faith that you guys built into the work that you put on a practice field.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I hope I didn't break any protocol there. But I just thought it was really cool that people think they're just football players around the clock, but even within their workday when they get a break like that, cool stuff like that happens, and more of it, I think, needs to happen. Time for our final break here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Chicago Bears season ticket holders with us here at the PNC studio at Halas Hall. Back to wrap things up with Eric Kush on 670 The Score. Welcome back to Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. Tune in to the Bears Coaches Radio Show Monday night, December 5th at 6:30 on WBBM News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Part of the Chicago Bears network of shows that includes Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber as we head down the home stretch from the PNC studio at Halas Hall. With some Bears season ticket holders, Chris Bowden and Tom Thayer, joined by Bears guard Eric Kush. And just as we wrap up here, had a couple other questions concerning the Hard Knocks thing. Would you guys watch the shows as soon as they were released just to see what they were all doing with all that time around you? Did you have access to them? And how interesting was it to hear coaches talk about you guys? I would imagine what they were saying in their meeting rooms were the same things they'd probably tell you face-to-face. I heard Paul Boudreau call you a little dirtbag, or you had a little dirtbag in
dirt
you.
Bag
is that
me,
true?
Yeah.
That's a compliment.
Yeah, that's an O-line compliment. It was cool to see, some of the behind-the-scenes process of it that you don't know about. You don't know what they do. Once they're out of your offensive line meeting, what do they do? What do they say as coaches? Around a board table. You don't really know all that the inside stuff. So it's cool to see that. But we would get they'd have DVDs for us. That we could watch it. If we didn't, have a way to stream it on a computer. But you're busy, incredibly busy, especially during training camp. So. We'd only be able to watch it, on our off day or something. But it was cool to see, all the behind-the-scenes stuff that goes on besides just our meetings with the coaches.
I know you had one teammate. Was it William Hayes? That was the other big storyline. His didn't believe in dinosaurs.
But he did believe in mermaids.
He did believe in mermaids, did not believe in dinosaurs. You believe in both, right?
Absolutely. I'm sure mermaids rode dinosaurs back in the day.
One showed up at training camp there.
Absolutely.
So, but were you, when you popped that in though, when you had an opportunity to watch it, were you nervous?
Yeah, because they get some footage and stuff, and you don't know how they're gonna cut it up or edit it to make you look this way or this way. So you're like, man, I wonder what they're gonna do with me.
But you were happy with everything, right?
Yeah, everything was great. They were fantastic. They backed off. When you were like, hey, I need to. To back off a little bit, and they were respectful and everything, and it was a fun time.
Well, last question, 49ers. What do you think of those guys defensively? I know they're an exciting, explosive offense. When you come off of a game with Dick LeBeau as a defensive coordinator, Tennessee Titans, it seemed like you guys saw every look up front, every blitz, every stunt that a team could possibly show you. But now what do you think about preparing for San Francisco?
Well, last week they certainly did, especially on the 2-minute drives at the end of the game. It was incredible. The stuff they threw at us and, our ability to pick it all up and get Barkley pretty clean back there. But we're going to work hard. We're taking a look at the 49ers. They, their last four-game stretch, looks decent, looks pretty good on defense. So, and they got some good players. We're going to have to go prepare, like we do every week, figure out what we're going to do and execute our plan, as close to perfect as we can.
Eric, thanks for doing this. We really appreciate getting to know you a little bit better, and hope you're enjoying your time in Chicago. Hope you we get to spend some more time with you years down the road. Eric Kush, ladies and gentlemen, guard for the Chicago Bears, joining us here on this edition of Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. Thanks to our Bears season ticket holders joining us here at the PNC studio at Halas Hall. For Tom Thayer, I'm Chris Bowden. Thanks for joining us on Bears All Access.
Thanks for listening to the Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access. Podcasts are available on chicagobears.com and on iTunes, or download the official Bears mobile app. Bears All Access has been brought to you by Uber and sponsored by CDW, FanDuel, and Verizon.